importance of the friendship and coming back to the yeshiva where 14 years ago I was in, not your seats literally or exactly because we were learning somewhere else, but basically in the same place in my life, and I'm thrilled that Rav Waxman gave me this chus to give a shiur Motzei Zos Chanukah, and to hopefully address some topics, especially in the Rambam, which will help us move forward into the second half of Chorev Zman, this turning point, and to try to take some of the ideas, not just of Chanukah, but in general, and apply them in our learning and in our life. I also saw a bunch of the Morisha BMP guys. It's good to, and some of the Morisha BMP dropouts. It's always good to see students and friends and softball buddies. Przanski was kind enough to give up my first homer of the summer. There were many more after that, but he got me off the schneid and got me going. Though John was by far and away the best softball player in the BMP. He was so good we kicked him out to sports staff at a certain point. So get out of here. All right. I want to talk tonight a little bit about the end of Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam at the conclusion of Hilchos Chanukah, we talk a lot about the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. There's only two prakim in the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. It's Paragimel and Dalet. He shares Hilchos Megillah with Hilchos Chanukah. And those two prakim, there's a lot about Neros Chanukah, as you would expect. There's also a lot about Hallel, which is a shiur for another time, about why the Rambam places all the halachos of Hallel, not just the halachos of Hallel Chanukah, but the halachos of Hallel year-round in the middle of Hilchos Chanukah, and really right in the middle. He starts talking about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in Paragimel Halacha Aleph Beis and Gimel, and then he goes into a peric-long digression about Hilchos Hallel. You may have discussed that. I see some nods that people are familiar with this. That has to do with the Hallel on Chanukah and its special nature and how it captures not just the Nes, but it's also part of the Kiyum of what Chanukah is all about. And then the Rambam at the very end of Perek Dalet sums up the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and then adds a few other comments. Now what's interesting is this is not just the end of Hilchos Chanukah, this is also the end of Sefer Zmanim as a whole. The Rambam often ends his the 14 different books of Yad HaZaka with a summation, with something that's relevant to the entire Sefer, with an essential idea, and here the Rambam does that as well. But on the surface, it has nothing at all to do with Chanukah. And it's jarring in how much it's not a din in Chanukah. Let's take a look. The top source. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Vitzarich adam lihizahir ba kedei lahodiya hanes, ulahosif b'shevach hakel v'hodayelo alanisim shasa. Okay, the Rambam talks about how precious this mitzvah is. Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. And a person has to be scrupulous, very careful, in order to make known the miracle and to add and to enlarge the shevach hakel v'hodayelo alanisim shasa. Then the Rambam adds a chiddush. This doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. This is the Rambam's chiddush, and the Nosei Kalim and other Achronim try to figure out where the Rambam got this halacha from. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this lehalacha, and it's unclear what the source is. Afilu ein lo ma yochal elo min atztaka. Sho'al lo mocher ksuso v'lo keach shemen v'neros umadim. The Rambam says that even if you don't, you're so indigent that you can't afford Chanukah candles, nevertheless, you have to fulfill this mitzvah. It's part of the chavivus of the mitzvah. It's a special mitzvah. A poor person has to borrow or sell the shirt off his back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah, in order to procure shemen, neros, in order to light. Where does the Rambam get this from? There are some Nosei Kalim who suggest that it's borrowed from another mitzvah, which has presumingness involved. Maybe it's borrowed from Arba Kosos. But it's not clear that the Rambam derives it from there. He makes no other connection between Arba Kosos and this halacha. For the Rambam, this seems to be his own chiddush. And it's a remarkable chiddush, because if you think about it, Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's not that huge mitzvah. To think that for a mitzvah taseh, that's midrabanan, that you should go ahead and sell the shirt off your back in order to fulfill this mitzvah, it's a little strange. This mitzvah, this line in the Rambam was ringing in my ears when, with four kids in tow, we had a few hour layover in Heathrow, the first night of Hanukkah on the way over from America. I went, I don't even know what area it was the smoking section of Heathrow Airport, which is a huge airport, and the first night of Hanukkah, lit a candle. We didn't do all the kids, we did just me, and I did it without a bracha because I wasn't sure if there was any chiv at all, but at least attempted to demonstrate the chavivus of the mitzvah in that way. I wasn't a pauper who had to sell the shirt off his back, but I was trying, I think, to fulfill the essence of this Rambam, which is to recognize the significance of this mitzvah. You may overlook it, you may not think it's that significant, you wouldn't think that a poor person would have to sell the shirt off his back. The Rambam says you have to. So one of the questions we'll deal with in the shir, hopefully, is why that is. What's so special about Hanukkah? Why do you have to go so far as to instruct the poor person, the indigent, the ani, to sell the shirt off his back? Somebody has an idea? Any thoughts, suggestions? Thought I saw him. So we'll come back to that. Okay, then the Rambam continues and summarizes a Gemara which appears in Shabbos and Chav Gimel and Beis towards the tail end of the discussion of the Hanukkah sugyas, right? Second parak of Shabbos, Bamem Alikin, after it talks about the Shmanim and other things that you use for Friday night, that's where it gets into a whole digression for two dapim or three dapim about all the halachos of Hanukkah based on a comparison or a contrast of the wicks and Shmanim that one's permitted to use for Shabbos candles and what one's permitted to use for Hanukkah candles. So the Rambam, at the end of that Gemara and at the end of Hilchos Hanukkah, the Rambam summarizes that discussion. Let's say you have a choice, either between Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah or Kiddush on Shabbos. You can only afford one, right? Triage, you got to pick. Who goes first? Which one of these mitzvahs is more significant? Makdim shemen lahadlik ner Chanukah, alayayin l'kiddush hayom, hol l'shnei midibrei sofrim, mutav lahakdim ner Chanukah, sheyesh bo zichron anetz. The Rambam paskins like the Gemara. The Gemara used the language of Pirsumi Nisa. It's interesting that the Rambam avoids that term. He says Zichron Anes. That's why it's underlined. Won't get into that. The Rambam paskins like the Gemara in Shabbos that it's preferred to spend the money, whatever money you have, on Neiros Chanukah over Kiddush Hayom, since they're basically equal when it comes to their status, their level of chiv. So go with Chanukah because it has this added element of Zichron Anes, of Pirsumi Nisa, Chavivus, whatever the Rambam just talked about. Go with Ner Chanukah over Kiddush. Okay. Then the Rambam concludes, Palachi Yadalit is the last halacha in Hilchos Chanukah, but it really doesn't have anything to do with Chanukah. Hayilafan of Ner Besov and Ner Chanukah. If you only have enough money for Ner Beso or Ner Chanukah, what's Ner Beso? Okay, we'll see if that's true. The suggestion was, or if that's true according to everybody, Ner Beso is Hadlakat Neros for Shabbos. We'll see about that. The Rambam calls it Ner Beso, like the Gemara. We'll see if that is synonymous with Ner Beso on Shabbos. We'll come back to why that's significant. So you only have enough for Ner Beso and Ner Chanukah. O Ner Beso v'Kiddush Hayom, or enough for Ner Beso or Kiddush, Ner Beso Koda. So this is not a halacha in Hilchos Chanukah. This is not a halacha in Hilchos Kiddush. This is a halacha in the primacy of Ner Beso. Let's assume it's Shabbos candles. Ner Beso. The Rambam here is expressing that Ner Beso trumps everything. Mishum Shalom Beso. Sharei Hashem Nimchak. La'asos Shalom Be'nish Li'ishto. Gadol HaShalom, Shekola Torah Nitna, La'asos Shalom Ba'olam, Shenemar Derachea Darchei Noam, Bechol Nesiv Oseh HaShalom. So the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, at the end of Sefer Zmanim, concludes his discussion of Hilchos Chanukah after explaining and summarizing how important this mitzvah is and being mechadesh, the extent to which you have to go for the chiv, you have to sell the shirt off your back, and it trumps Kiddush Hayom. The Rambam says, but hold on a second. When it comes to a square off between Ner Chanukah and Ner Beso, or anything, and Ner Beso wins. Why? Because of Shalom Bayis. And then the Rambam says, and Shalom Bayis isn't just anything. Shalom Bayis, or the principle of shalom, the idea of peace, is greater, is of supreme significance. Shekol HaTorah nitna laso shalom b'olam. The entire purpose of the Torah, or the Torah was given so as to promote peace in the world. This sounds like the way the Gemara concludes a few Masechtas, right? Brachos, Yevamos, Nida, I think one other one, Erevin, Brachos, Erevin, Yevamos, and Nida, where it has the Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam discussion at the very end of the Gemara. The Rambam here has a similar kind of discussion, but much more emphatic at the end of Hilchos Chanukah. So what's this doing here? Why did the Rambam pick the end of Hilchos Chanukah? Is it just because he happened to be learning that sugya on Chav Gimel Aviz and Shabbos, where the whole idea of Shalom Bayis comes up, so he said, okay, this is the perfect time for me to give a homiletical description of the significance of peace? Does this have anything to do with Chanukah at all? And if it does, you know, what is that connection? Where does that come from? And why does the Rambam set it up with trumping the trumpeting the significance of mitzvahs ner Chanukah, and then says, but on the other hand, it loses out when it comes to ner Beisa. Okay, so we got to try to figure out and unpack and try to understand the hierarchy of values in Yahadus in order to properly understand this particular Rambam. Okay. We're not going to spend a ton of time going through everything on this sheet, but I wanted to give some food for thought, or at least some last bits of food for you to chew on over the next couple of days or a couple of hours to think about some of the essential elements of Chanukah. So here are the couple of important lumdus facts you got to know about Chanukah. There are really two elements to Ner Chanukah which are unique. And they're unique not just because they exist in Ner Chanukah, but because in the context of Ner Chanukah, we take an idea, we take a Kol HaTorah Kula principle or concept, and when it's applied to Chanukah, or when it's taken over by Chanukah, it's completely transformed. Those two ideas are Pirsumei Nisa and Hidr Mitzvah. They exist in other contexts, especially Hidr Mitzvah, that exists everywhere. He's not the fun of the mitzvahs. But even Pirsumei Nisa exist in other contexts, but when it comes to Ner Chanukah, they are defining of the mitzvah in a unique way. They are transforming of the mitzvah in a unique way. I'll give you just a couple of examples. When it comes to Pirsumei Nisa, it's not just like, oh, it's a nice idea for you to go ahead and publicize this miracle. Right, and the Pirsumei Nisa when it comes to Chanukah is very different than the Pirsumei Nisa of Purim. We don't have Chabad people on Purim reading the Megillah in the streets, do we yet? I don't know. That's not typical. But everywhere you go, you know, you got Tzirei Chabad putting up. I've been all around Israel the past week. There are thousands of menorahs up every street, every highway, everywhere you go, there are menorahs. And I think that's in keeping with the theme of Chanukah. The Pirsumei Nisa here is front and center. It's really paramount, of paramount significance when it comes to the mitzvah. But it also defines the mitzvah in a unique way. It's not like Purim or Arba Kosos, where it's an element to the mitzvah, but it's not necessarily so central to how that mitzvah is observed. When it comes to Chanukah, however, you have the timing of the mitzvah and the placement all revolving around Pirsumei Nisa. Mitzvasa mishetishka chamad shetich l'regel menashuk. When you like. The placement. Tan Rabbanan Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'anicha al pesach beso mi b'chutz im hayadar ba'aliyah manicha b'chalon ha'smuch l'rishus harabim u'b'shasa sakana minicha al shulchan u'vidaya. Right, that's the Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Aleph and Beis. Right, this is just an interesting point. What was the Havamim mean? What would you have thought without this Gemara? Right? The Gemara says, best light outside. If you can't light outside, or if you're in an apartment building, you light in the window that's adjacent to Rishon Sarabim. And in a time of Sakana, which is either during the Persian or during some other empire that was not nice to us, then you light inside. Because you're not allowed to light, and if they see you lighting on the day that's their holiday, they get very upset, etc., etc. So what would you have thought, B'Shas Sakana, without this Gemara? Yeah? You would not have to light at all? Okay, why would you not have to light at all? Okay, So minicha al shulchan avidaya. Okay, what else could you say, John?
You don't have to light because the whole thing is pursuing.
Okay, so maybe we could take your idea. You don't have to light, not just because of the sakana, but because if you can't do pursuing isa, it's so central to what the mitzvah is that there's no point in light. If there's no opportunity for pursuing isa, then forget it. So the maskan is either, well, there's enough pursuing isa in the house, that's how most people understand it, or you could say, even without pursuing isa, there is a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah without pursuing isa, absent pursuing isa, you know, b'di'evet, b'shas ha-sakana. Okay, anybody else have another reading of this Gemara? Minicha al shulchan v'daya. You might have thought that you have to light anyway. Right, it's enough. You can light inside. You might have thought that pursuing isa is so central to the mitzvah that you have to go ahead and risk life and limb in order to light. We'll talk about whether that's a possible reading. The maskana is no. You don't have to risk life and limb. You still have pursuing isa even inside, and it's not. You don't have to risk it all for that. You can still fulfill the mitzvah indoors, either believe pursuing isa or with a more private, homebound pursuing isa. Okay, and then the third element, of course, is the height. Amar of Kahana, Darsh of Nasa and Bar Minyoni, Mishved de Rebbe Tanku, Ner Shel Chanukah Shenicha Lamala Michaf Ama Psula Kisuko Kimavoy. Again, that has to do with pursuing isa as well. It can't be too high because if you can't see it, there's no point to it. Okay, so there's, in terms of pursuing isa, we see many unique halachos or many defining halachos which are unique to Ner Chanukah. There are others. I think the Rav in Hari Kedem has a few pieces, or Rav is quoted in Hari Kedem, where he has a few pieces on the centrality of pursuing isa, how that might justify lighting in Beis Knesses, even though it's not really a bias. Other nafkaminas of the centrality of pursuing isa, the Rav there in the Kuf, in several of those pieces. You see the whiteout? Or you see the blackened things there? I only had one copy, so I whited out the simonim that I written down in Hari Kedem, which could have left it there, I guess, but it was a little messy. Where the Rav describes the significance of pursuing isa. He doesn't put it this way, that it's a kola Torah kula concept, or at least a Torah concept which appears in other contexts, which is unique to Chanukah. But he notes that it is unique, and he has additional nafkamina based knesses and other things. Okay, the other area where we find Chanukah, Ner Chanukah transforming in a kind of radical way is in the context of Hiddur Mitzvah. Okay? I'm sure you guys heard a shiur about this from a Reich, from Nussbaum, or somebody. No? Hiddur Mitzvah, Mahadran, Mahadran, nod. Yes? Religious maximalism, lechatchilism, we talked about that? Okay, so we don't have to go into too many details other than to just note a few highlights and maybe a couple of additional chidushim in this particular area. Okay, we're all familiar with the fact that the Hiddur of Ner Chanukah seems to be very different. Notwithstanding the Rabbeinu Hananel and in Baba Kama and the Griz al Rambam, who seems to think that the Hiddur of Ner Chanukah is kind of typical Hiddur mitzvahs in general, the preponderance of the evidence from the Gemaras through the Rambam, and especially in the Shulchan Aruch, is that Hiddur mitzvah, when it comes to Chanukah, is totally unique. It's not just an additional nice element, you know, have a nice sukkah, or have a nice lulav, or have a nice esrog, nice sefer Torah. The equivalent of that in Hilchos Chanukah is have a nice chanukiah, or menorah, or whatever you call it. When it comes to Chanukah, though, we have this other idea of Hiddur mitzvah, of Ner Chanukah, which totally changes the way the mitzvah is performed, and it has many halachic nafkaminas. So first of all, you have three levels when it comes to Ner Chanukah, which is unprecedented. You know, set up mitzvah Ner Yishuveso, Mahadrin, then Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Interestingly, Rashi defines Mahadrin not as Hiddur in the beauty sense, but as a description of how you relate to the mitzvos. V'amahadrin achar ha-mitzvos. That's the Rashi in the Hiddur mitzvah b'Ner Chanukah. Meaning it's a reference to how you should view this mitzvah. You should chase after it. You should run after it. It's not just beautify. The Rashi here, I think, is making an important comment. He's saying mahadrin here is not hisnael of fun of the mitzvos. It's mahader lechader, to chase after, to pursue this particular mitzvah. Okay, now others have different interpretations. I put those in parentheses. The most amazing sheet, though, when it comes to Mahadran of Ner Chanukah, though, is the Shulchan Aruch. You guys talk about this at all? No? Anybody do the Shulchan Aruch over the course of Chanukah? Yeah? Somebody nod. What was so strange? What was so striking? What was jarring about the Shulchan Aruch's presentation of Hilchos Hanukkah? Let's say you're on a desert island, and you read, you didn't have a Gemara Shabbos, and you didn't have a Rambam, you didn't have anything else, and you just read the Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Hanukkah. Yeah?
It only starts from the Mahanim.
Correct. Very good. Excellent. Did somebody point that out already? That was you.
Yeah.
What's your name, man?
Asher.
Who pointed that out?
Right.
Okay. Not Usher's Kiddush, but good, you were paying attention. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the context of Hilchos Hanukkah, completely leaves out the first two levels of the mitzvah. Almost as if the first two levels are there only to artificially set up a scenario where you're fulfilling on a wide scale the Mahadran Min HaMahadran. Not only that, it seems like from the Shulchan Aruch that when it comes to that selling the shirt off your back, you have to do that. The poor person has to sell the shirt off his back even for Hidra Mitzvah, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about anything else. And in a few other places as well, Malika Miner Lener, three or four different contexts, the Shulchan Aruch Lishitaso seems to have a view that Ner Hanukkah is completely transformed by Hidra. That's why the most famous Nachmina is the Tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the discussion of the Sfas Emes about can you say the bracha of Lahalik Ner Hanukkah after you've lit the first candle. Let's say you forgot to make a bracha before you light, but you have the kavana to light. You light the first candle, and you have several other candles left. Can you still make lahadlik ner shulchan? Now, it's only hidr mitzvah. You've already fulfilled the mitzvah. And if this is a birchas mitzvah, you have to make it over lasiyah, so maybe you can. Some people say you can't. There are others who say you can. Sfas Emes among them, and he said the reason why is because hidr mitzvah is not just an added element to the mitzvah, but it integrates into the mitzvah, transforms it, it makes it something totally different. And so I think the reason for both of these phenomena, which I'm sure Rav Reich talked about as well, is the fact that when it comes to Hanukkah, the kind of the historical picture and the question that was on the line when it came to the Maccabim and what they were trying to do was really trying to promote and protect and preserve Yahadus in a public and in a ideal kind of way. And that's why you have these two ideas, Pirsume Nisa and Hidr Mitzvah, being completely transformed in the context of Hanukkah. Yes, they exist in other places, but those ideas are not the same when it comes to Hilchos Hanukkah, because when it comes to Hanukkah, the whole context of the fight and the whole idea and the message behind the miracle of the Pach Shemen was that it's not enough just to do the minimal, do the indoors, do it quietly, do it bitzina. We have to try and promote a Yahadus which is public, a Yahadus which is lechachila, and we have to be willing to risk everything. We have to start a war, and there were probably others at that time who said to the Maccabees, what are you doing? You know, you're ruining everything. We can preserve a little bit of Judaism if you just listen to you just follow orders, and you just kind of play along. But the Maccabees basically said, no, that's not the way it's going to work. We have to try and promote a version of Yahadus which doesn't go underground, a version of Yahadus which is public, which that's why Pirsume Nisa is completely transformative of the mitzvah and defining of the mitzvah. That's why Hidr Mitzvah is so important. That ties in with the whole question about Tumah Hutra B'Tzipor, which I'm sure you're familiar with by now. How could it be that they even needed to light Shemen Tahar Pashtus? They were planning on just lighting the Shemen Tahar the first day, and if it had gone out, this is what I think at least, they would have lit other Shemen Tahar. But the idea was that this miracle kind of reinforced the entire battle, the spiritual miracle of Ner Hanukkah, reinforced the miracle of the military battle, and the reason why that was waged was in order to promote a certain ideal form of Yahadus, and that ideal form of Yahadus was then expressed through the idea of Hidr Mitzvah and Mahadran and Mahadran, which when it comes to Hanukkah is so transformed. Okay, you guys knew all that. You guys are familiar with that, the Maharal and everybody else who discusses the essential nature of what Hanukkah is all about. I want to just fast forward to the Rambam at the bottom of the My Hanukkah section of the sheet. The Rambam, interestingly enough, seems to integrate, and I think this makes a lot of sense based on what we've talked about, integrate the two miracles of Hanukkah. There are the people like the Maharal who emphasize the Neis Milchama, There are people who emphasize the Neis Pach Shem and Rashi on that Gemara of Mike Hanukkah, etc. The Rambam thinks both are important, and he actually integrates them both. In the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, Paragimel of Hilchos Chanukah, which is the beginning, the Rambam first describes the military victory and the miracle, the miraculous nature of that victory. Right, the Gavra b'nei Chashmonoim, HaKohanim, Adol, B'hargum, O'Shiu, Yisrael, Mi'adam, Ve'emidu Melech, Min HaKohanim, etc. And then the Rambam talks about the Neis Pach Shemen. U'kishu Gavra Yisrael, O'Yveyem, Ve'ibdum, B'chamish Ve'esrim, B'chodesh Kislev, Ha'yev, Nitlis, Le'echal, etc. Then the Rambam says, U'b'nei Zen, it's clear that he's talking about the two preceding halachos, the two miracles. Because of these, Hiskinu chacham shebaoso hador shiushmona sayam ma'elu shetchilasan milele chamisha v'esrim b'kislev yimei simcha v'halel u'menlikim hem haneros be'erev al pischei abatim. This is something that not a lot of people notice. The Rambam, in his initial description of Ner Chanukah, talks about Pirsumei Nisa and how critical it is. Ba'erev al pischei abatim, the whole laila v'laila, mishmonas halelos, laharos u'legalos, okay, so now we understand a little bit about why Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva hiyad mo. We understand the first halacha of the Rambam that we started with, the perek dalet halacha yudbeis, all the way at the top of the sheet. We understand why is this mitzvah so chaviva? Why is it so special and precious? Why does the ani have to sell the shirt off his back? The reason why he has to do all that is because, the reason why this is so precious is because this mitzvah represents and symbolizes how we don't just do the minimum. How we don't just get by and say, hey, wait a second, I don't have any money, I don't have any clothes. What, I'm supposed to do the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? The whole point is, even the poor person who can't afford it, and it's a little cruel if you think about it, even though he can't afford it, it's so significant. It has to be treated so preciously that the ani has to go ahead and sell the shirt off his back, maybe even for mahadrin, min mahadrin, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because of the whole context and the whole message of what Chanukah is about. You have to publicize the idea of a maximalist approach to Yahadus. An absolute idealistic, no heterim, no excuses, I'm too poor, I don't have anything. No, nobody has any excuses when it comes to Ner Chanukah. It's all based on the chavivus of this mitzvah and what the battle is about and what the miracle of the Neis Pach Shemen represents. We got that. But what about the Rambam's conclusion? What about the fact that the Rambam then transitions and discusses not Ner Chanukah, but Ner Beisa? What's that all about? So let's take a look at the bottom of the sheet, the section Ner Chanukah, Ner Beis, and hopefully we'll gain some insight into that. Okay, take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos and Chav Gimel and Beis. I'm a Rava. Pshita li Ner Beis of Ner Chanukah, Ner Beis of Adif Mishum Shalom Beis. Right, Rava says it's obvious that if there's a question of Ner Beis or Ner Chanukah, Ner Beis is trumps it because of Shalom Beis. What's interesting is that the Gemara has the Ner Beis versus Ner Chanukah discussion as a throwaway. Rava says it as, you know, kind of a lead-in to ask the real question. Ah, that's not even a question. Ner Beiso Zadif. And the Rambam inverts the Gemara, flips it around, and makes that the landing point for, and then the launching point for a whole discussion about the centrality of Shalom and the significance of Shalom. Just interesting. The Rambam is clearly not just quoting a Gemara here, because he's totally turning this Gemara on its head. The Gemara doesn't talk about Ner Beiso. It wants to get to the discussion of Ner Chanukah. The Gemara then continues. Ner Beiso v'kiddush hayom, Ner Beiso adiv mishum shalom Beiso. That's what Rava knew was pshita. But by Rava, Ner Chanukah v'kiddush hayom mahu, kiddush hayom adiv t'tadir, odilma Ner Chanukah adiv mishum persuminitza. Basar di baye hadar pashta, Ner Chanukah adiv mishum persuminitza. Okay? The question was asked, and after he asked it, Rava resolved it and said, Ner Chanukah trumps Kiddush Hayom because of Pirsumei Nisa. Amar Rav Huna, Haragil b'Ner, Havin le'Banim Talmidei Chachamim, Hazayir b'Mezuzah, Zocha l'Dira Naha, etc. Mar then goes on to talk about the people who are scrupulous in the performance of certain mitzvos merit the reward of certain things. So if you're Ragil b'Ner, you have Banim Talmidei Chachamim. You got a question? You're just stretching. Cool. All right. takes a look at this Gemara and flips it all around. I just want to point out one minor issue, which is important, because we have to learn how to read Gemaras as carefully as possible. This Gemara here, I thought for my entire life, was talking about Shabbos candles, right? Because that's what it seems like. That's what Rashi says. I didn't even think there was any other way to go about it. Rashi there says, Ner Beso Ner Chanukah, Ner Beso Bishabbat, or Bishabbos, V'hu Ani V'ein Lo K'dei Liknos Shtei Neros. But if you look at other Rishonim there, and if you think about it, think about the Gemara there doesn't say that we're talking about Ner Beto on Shabbos, per se. It's talking about Ner Beto. So you have to remember, this is a time when they didn't have electricity. Right? So if you look at the Ritva, for example, he's just one, there are a couple of others. Ner Beso Adif Mishum Shalom Beso, Perush Vim Elo Shemin Lashtayim Madlik Shal Beso. Then he continues on, and then he says, V'chein Be'er of Shabbos Madlik Shal Beso Tchila. Right? He then goes into a discussion on Shabbos. This is a huge discussion. Shabbos Hanukkah, which do you light first? Do you light the Shabbos candles first or Hanukkah candles first? So the Ritva is a big proponent of lighting the Shabbos candles first. Don't you accept Shabbos? No, you don't really accept Shabbos, he says, and Tadir and Eino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. We don't paskin like that. But it's clear from the Ritva that his discussion of Ner Beso is not restricted to Shabbos candles. He's talking about Nair in the house in general. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the Rambam also believed that, but I can't prove it either way because there's not enough evidence. He doesn't exclusively refer to Nair Beso, Nair Shabbos as Nair Beso, but he does at times refer to it as that in help the Shabbos, so I'm not sure. But what's interesting is just you read that Gemara and you see, wow, you know, maybe it's not just Nair Beso Shabbos. Why wouldn't Rashi say that? Yeah.
It's
about
to say that Rashi also
is talking about Ner Shabbos? No, the Rashi defines the Gemara as saying Ner Beso Bishabbos.
Not Ner Shabbos, Ner Beso
Bishabbos. No, it's clear from Rashi that he's talking about a scenario where you only have enough money for one mitzvah, either Ner Oschanukah or Ner Shabbos. That's why he writes Ner Beso Bishabbos. He's not talking about the order, the question of order, which one goes first. Why would Rashi, just let's flip it around now, if the literal or the Pashup shot is that we're talking about Ner Beso in general, why would Rashi restrict it to talking about Shabbos? Yeah. Right. What's the mitzvah? Where's the, you know, we in this kind of battle, right, you have this face-off between two mitzvahs, and then you have another principle, usually, which trumps and says, okay, this one wins. So the thinking was, when it comes to Kiddush Hayom and Hanukkah, you have two mitzvahs midivrei so from the words of the Rambam, or two mitzvahs midrabanan, and then you have near Hanukkah, which wins because of Shalom Bayis. So, sorry, because of Pirsumei Nisa. So the thinking that Rashi had was, it's inconceivable that we would say that near Hanukkah would lose to near Beso, just lighting candles in the house. I mean, what does that mean? Fine, Shalom Bayis is a nice principle, but where's the mitzvah to attach it to? But it seems like, according to the Ritva, and maybe according to Rambam, it's also clear in Rabbeinu Chananel, that the idea of Shalom Bayis, and this is radical if you think about it, that the idea of Shalom Bayis, even without a mitzvah, the principle of Shalom Bayis, but, you know, maybe makes sense. You don't want people bumping into each other. I know on this trip, we're staying in a little two-bedroom apartment with one bathroom. That this has been a Shalom Bayis challenge, this trip. And that's with electricity. But if you have no electricity, you know, it just compounds the idea. What's the idea of Haragil B'Ner having one bun and telling a chum? So Rashi says it's talking about Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. But the Pashtus of that Gemara is also, we're talking about Ner in general. Light, if you, you know, invest to have light in your house so you can learn, so that you don't bump into each other, so you're not tripping over each other's feet, etc. Somebody had a question. Yes, Shui.
I don't think so.
You guys are pushing me on this, but the Rashi there is saying Bishabbos because it has to be something that I think that's the only time. Right. It could be, but I don't think that's what Rashi is getting at. Yeah, Jake.
Just to help you out.
Shabbos and, you're saying Shabbos and Chanukah. Okay, yes.
So according to the Ritva, he says that Shalom Bayis would, he said, but probably the Rambam, because Shalom Bayis suggests that there's light in the house but no clothing. So like he would say, like, I think in a house where people wear clothing, people were having light, no clothing, we all become Shalom Bayis. So why?
Saying the poor guy without any money for clothes.
Yeah.
This stuff is happening. By the way, you guys are here now, but like in America, everybody's broke now. It's not something to joke about. It's crazy what's going on. Yeah.
So according to him, this is a contradict. Why should you?
There is a certain connection specifically drawn between light and Shalom Bayis. That's why Shabbos candles, one of the ideas behind Shabbos candles is Shalom Bayis. It comes from this Gemara. There is a certain, so whether not being dressed or you know, selling the, right, it's kind of like Ushpizin, you know, the wife wasn't really happy that he spent all his money on the Esrog. So if you spend your money on Hanukkah candles, that also doesn't promote Shalom Bayis. He comes home and says, I got no shirt. What happened to your shirt, honey? Well, I had to get Hanukkah candles. You had to get Hanukkah candles, we don't have food on the table. So I hear what you're saying, but it's not a direct link. The Gemara doesn't draw a specific link between, you know, clothing and Shalom Bayis, but it's a good point. My wife doesn't like the way I dress a lot of times, so that does help out. Yes. Correct. The question is, do you need to have a specific mitzvah such as Ner Shabbos plus Shalom Bayis to trump? This would be a huge knockback. Tuesday of Hanukkah. Right, I only have a shekel. Do I buy shemen for Ner Hanukkah? Rashi would say yes. It's only the only mitzvah you have. The Ritva would say no. Get some light for your house. Remember, you can't use the light of Hanukkah. That's why it's a problem. Right? It's utterly shtamish laora. So if you're using that to light your house, you can't double dip and use that for lighting Hanukkah candles. So that's a huge nachmina. Right, so according to the Ritva, Shalom Bayis on its own trumps Ner Hanukkah, whereas according to Rashi, it's the mitzvah of Ner Rosh Shabbos with the added concept of Shalom Bayis, which allows you to trump that. Yeah, in the back.
You said that Shalom Bayis over Ner Hanukkah, she wants you rather have Ner Hanukkah.
Well, whether they're objective criterion for this or subjective criterion for this, remember, also you're lighting Hanukkah candles ideally outside, so it doesn't help inside your house. Okay, so that could be what's behind Rashi, who's saying you need to have a mitzvah of Shabbos candles with it, because maybe you also have Shalom Bayis on a weekday with Hanukkah. Could be. Okay, what I wanted to point out, though, is that the Rambam clearly saw this Gemara and read it and thought, whoa, wait a second, there's something more here than just the throwaway line of Rava, it's Pasha, Ner Beisot. Whether it's talking about Ner Shabbos or it's not talking about Ner Shabbos, for the moment, that's not so significant. What's significant is that the Rambam takes this Gemara and closes Hilchos Hanukkah with this idea. Not with the idea of Pirsumei Nisa, which would have been a great way to close Hilchos Hanukkah. You know how, and that's the way the Gemara ends, you know how important Ner Hanukkah is, Mitzvah Chavivi Yamo? It's so important that if you only have enough money for Kiddush Hayom and for Ner Hanukkah, you do Ner Hanukkah. Right, the Rambam could have done that. The Rambam could have even thrown in the part about Shalom Bayis here if he wanted to and started that off. Yeah, Shalom Bayis trumps Ner Hanukkah, but really the amazing thing is Ner Hanukkah trumps Kiddush Hayom. Because even though it's Tadir, this is Pirsumei Nisa. That would have been a perfectly fine way to conclude Hilchos Hanukkah. It would have been a wonderful summation, a wonderful way of encapsulating what Hanukkah is all about, the chavivus of the mitzvah, how precious it is, the idea of Pirsumei Nisa being so central to the mitzvah, the idea of Hidur mitzvah being transformative and different here, sell the shirt off your back, etc., etc., etc. But the Rambam doesn't do that. The Rambam concludes with this discussion of Shoah. So what gives? Why here? What's the Rambam trying to do? Are we reading too much into this? The Rambam just looking to come up with a drasha? Yaakov, no secrets. Let's go. What do you got?
After saying all the Hanukkah are upkeep and ideals, we have to also explain that take over living with Shoah. And that's why he puts it in the Sota, that you're going to share Hashem's
Nimcha. Say it better, though. It's not just the halachas of Hanukkah. Go back to the beginning of Hanukkah. What?
Okay, finish.
finishing all the book is mine, but specifically in the context of Hilchos Chanukah, when the Rambam gives the history of war, right? The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, does something he doesn't do anywhere else. He gives you the history of, and there's a question, why does the Rambam give you the whole history of Chanukah, but not the whole history of Purim? Talk about that another time. But the Rambam gives you a whole history of Chanukah, and he starts with the idea of killing, bombing, you know, the equivalent then. All those things, and the importance of that at certain points in history, and the significance of that at a certain time in our history, when it needed to be done. The Shas Hashmah, you know, it's a precursor. It wasn't yet defined as Shas Hashmah, but Chanukah was the first Shas Hashmah, when the Yahari Bal Yavor, for everything, even if it's at life and limb, that was when it was born, I think. When you look at Hilchos Chanukah, and you take this idea of Shas HaSakan, and all these other things we're talking about, it goes back to that battle of the Hashmonaim, who said it's not enough to live this way. We have to fight a war. We have to risk our lives for this. That's how the Rambam starts Hilchos Chanukah, if you remember. B'vayishen kishemalchu yavan gazu gzeros al yisrael u'bitlu datam v'lo hinichos amasak b'toru mitzos u'pashnu yadam b'monam u'mnoseyam v'nichnesu lehechol u'pirtzos v'timu ataros v'tzar lahem liyisrael ma'od mipneyam v'lachatzum lachatz gadol Asherichim aleim elokei avosinu v'hoshiyam miyadam. V'gavru b'nei chashmonai akon gdolim v'hargum v'hoshiyu Yisrael miyadam. I think it's specifically here that the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, chooses to discuss the centrality of Shalom and how Shalom ultimately trumps Chanukah. Chanukah is a story of how you have to risk everything and go to war for your values, for a certain form of Yahadus, a certain expression of Judaism, which is public, which is ambitious, which is idealistic, which is lichatchila, all those things. But the Rambam concludes Hilchos Chanukah and says, wait a second. As you're walking away from Chanukah, you should know that in the ultimate hierarchy of values, the whole Torah is about Shalom. The whole Torah was given to promote Shalom. So there may be times in our history where Klal Yisrael has to step up and go to war and to fight to protect a certain aspiration of how we want Yahadus to be. And there are times in history where we have to fight wars. But the ultimate value, according to the Rambam, Dafka in the context of Hilchos Chanukah, when he stressed the necessity of going to war and how that was so central to what Chanukah is all about and how it's a mitzvah of Yibi Yamod. Nevertheless, when it comes to the halachas of Chanukah themselves, Ner Besos Adif Mishum Shalom Bayis. Rambam lets us know that Shalom Bayis, specifically the context of a home, but then more broadly when it comes to Shalom in general, there may be paths along the way where we have to fight battles and where we have to do what we have to do in order to promote a certain type of Yahadus, but ultimately the end of the road, we hope and we pray that it all leads to Shalom. And so if we can wrap up Chanukah in a certain way, we realize that this idea of what Chanukah is all about and how precious it is and how important it is, we have to take that with us in a way which allows us to concentrate not just on what Chanukah is all about and the military victory and the spiritual victory and the fight that the Hashmonaim fought. We also have to remember that ultimately, at least for the Rambam, the primary value, the value which is the most lasting, the most enduring, and which takes precedence over the long haul, is the pursuit of Shalom, is the value of Shalom Bayis. And I think that that's a critical message as we go back to learning Hilchos Gittin, which is what we're learning over on the other side of the ocean as well. Permit me a moment to just give you a minute on what Gittin is all about. We tend to think of Gittin and Gerushin as a last resort. It certainly is that, or a worst case scenario. It certainly is that. But the idea of Gerushin, the whole parsha of Ishus, if you look at it in the Torah carefully, it's not really about Kiddushin, it's not really about Gerushin. You guys know what I'm talking about? The four psukim in the Torah, Perakov Dalet, Psukim Aleph through Dalet, which talk about Ishas. Don't talk about Kiddushin so much. Don't talk about Girushin. Talk about Matzer Grushasim. So we could talk about why that is and what that's all about. But I think one of the ideas that's projected by that Parsha is the idea that Girushin is not just a total cop-out when things have totally fallen by the wayside, but that it's also a way of preserving and promoting a certain elevated sanctity, a certain ideal perception of what marriage is all about. And this Rambam also, you know, by stressing shalom bayis and the lengths we go to in order to promote shalom bayis, I think reinforces the idea that really Girushin, you know, this is the joke, why Gittin's before Kiddushin. The reason why Gittin's before Kiddushin, besides the fact that there are more Prakim and Mishnayos, which is probably the real answer, is because that an important aspect or an important recognition of what marriage is all about in Yadus is that there is the out of Girushin, and that allows us to preserve as best we can a certain ideal of what marriage is supposed to be about. So hopefully we'll take some of these ideas of shalom bayis in our own lives and propel us forward as we leave Hanukkah behind. Somewhat sadly, we recognize that for the Rambam, Hanukkah is not the be-all and end-all. Ultimately, it's about promoting shalom bayis. Thank you guys for the opportunity. If anybody wants to talk to me about BMP either this past summer, good times and stuff, or talk about the prospect of coming this coming summer. You know what would be great? Is if you gave me your name and email so that we can be in touch with you when we get the application, even if you're applying to NC Swine Cola or whatever it is.